Wow. The possibilities are endless. I love opportunities. The difference between a pessimist and an optimist is a pessimist sees all the issues and all the problems. An optimist sees opportunities. It was several years ago, about 9 to be exact, we got to move to Canada about the exact same time as the new executive director and his wife for the Western Canadian Church of God at that time. And God put us there, I believe, absolutely under the mentorship of this family. And the opportunity for us to serve under you guys was incredible. And so, welcome this morning. We're glad to have you here with us this morning. This is Ken and Teresa Weidrich, by the way. Do you realize today ends 3 years that Pastor Joe and I have been here? Can't believe it. Next Sunday, on the first Sunday of August, we will begin our 4th year with you. Now, what an opportunity for us to be blessed to be in this, leaving a town of 175 to live in a fourth floor condo in the middle of Northgate. It was not what we expected, but the opportunity that God provided was amazing. Endless opportunities. If you have your Bible with you this morning, or if you want to open your device to Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 40, we'll be there in just a few minutes. But opportunities, we face them each and every day. When you get out of bed in the morning, if you're looking for opportunity, you're going to find it. It was a little over a year ago or so now that a gentleman by the name of Mac walked into our facility and hunted me down with a box of maple scones. And you see us asking all the time for assistance, for people to participate in our Friday service. And I call it our Friday service down at the Maple Leaf Assisted Living Community. And I love it going down there, and it's been growing. And this morning, I have the privilege of sharing, you get to hear it again. Marilyn and her husband are with us this morning, and Marilyn is our worship director down at the Maple Leaf Community, and she serves, and she tries to keep me in line down there, and it is amazing to have you with us this morning. Years ago, before I even moved to Canada, God opened the opportunity for me to go to Anderson every once in a while and to sit in on a staff meeting with Pastor Jim, who is with us this morning. And I remember just sitting back and watching you lead your staff. And what an amazing time for me as a small congregation, as a small staff pastor, to watch you lead. And the opportunities that God has put in my life, and I could go on and on and on and on. But this is absolute truth. The God that we serve will continue to daily open opportunities for you to not only serve him, but to enjoy this life that he has put us in. It's amazing to serve a God who looks out for my best interest, who wants to give me opportunities, who wants to give me those things that I can grow in. Here's the good news. We're going to read this text in just a bit, but here's the nugget of good news. If you listen, God's word will always steer you right. Let me say that again. God's word will always steer you right. God will always create opportunity. That's the good news. He always creates opportunity, not just for us, but for those who need Jesus, those that we are on mission to go and to reach, those that we are called to serve. God will open not only opportunities for the church, but he will open opportunities for those that need Jesus to find them. That's where we'll find our text this morning. Again, in Acts 8, verse 26 through 40. What if one opportunity could change your life? Now, I'm preaching to the choir here. I know that if each and every one of us had opportunity to come up here and grab the microphone and say, what is that significant God moment in your life that was an opportunity for him to recreate you, to change you, to correct you, to put you in mission or on task? What is that? All of us would have that story. Because God is a God who is a personal God, who wants to provide opportunity. What if one opportunity could change your life? What if one opportunity could change their life? You've heard me beat this drum over and over and over again. Church needs to be so far beyond these walls. We come here, we get energized, we get encouraged, we build up and get those batteries charged, but church needs to be so much broader than the walls of this building. We need to be the church in the community, in the workplaces, in the families that we live in and serve in. We need to recognize that your opportunity doesn't end with you. Your opportunity is their opportunity. Your opportunity is God's opportunity. What kind of opportunities have you, through your life, offered those around you? You probably don't know this lady. Her name is Annie Renew. Or if anybody may speak French better than I do, you probably know how to pronounce that better. Let me just share a story. You're gonna like this. The day before the Seahawks-Panthers playoff game, I shared a post I'd written called 12th Man Mom. How the Seahawks are making me a better parent. Thinking people who follow head coach Pete Carroll might enjoy it, I tagged him when I shared it on Twitter. A few hours later, I got an email from the Seahawks special assistant to the head coach saying that Coach Carroll had read my post, that he had greatly enjoyed it, and wanted to speak to me on the phone. I responded with my phone number, and within 5 minutes, my phone was ringing. I spoke with Coach Carroll about parenting, coaching, my post, and about how his Win Forever Mindset training program he offered, about his Win Forever Mindset training program. Then he offered to share my post on his Twitter account. And in parentheses, yes, please. Then he said, we're going to have this partner at Win Forever Organization contact you to talk about a collaboration. And he did. I'm currently in discussions with them about writing some kind of material to help them get their philosophy out to families. I never cared for Twitter, but to be honest, between tweeting the post and tagging Pete Carroll, it was the best thing I've ever done. An opportunity. Who would have thought to, in your blog, to write and to actually tag Pete Carroll in your Twitter post? That's pretty amazing. The opportunities that God sets before us sometimes come in ways that we would have never, never imagined or dreamed. Tagging him was probably not a strategic move to get her blog more popular. It probably was just like, hey, it talks about him, and it's a tag word, and if anybody's searching, I'm gonna put that in there. It really sparked in my mind this creative idea. What happens this week when Pete Carroll's listening to my sermon online? It could happen. What happens when Pete Carroll listens to the sermon that you're hearing right now online and has his assistant coach call me and say, hey, you know, give me your phone number. Coach Carroll would like to. It could happen. You know, we put the opportunities of God in this small little box. That's my commitment to this year, is not to put God in my box, not to limit him to what I think he should do and how he should do it, when he should do it, and where he should do it. I'm just committed, and I've, again, just beating this drum. I am committed and want you to commit to hear the voice of God in 2018. And you, just be quiet. Me, just shut my mouth and listen to what the voice of God has to say. I'm committed to that. I want that in my life. In order for us to hear the voice of God, you're going to like this too. I'm talking about the Seahawks, and now I'm going to use a statement called watch like a hawk. If you're going to hear God's voice, you've got to watch like a hawk. Red-tailed hawks are my favorite bird of all. And in younger years and in a former life, I actually bought my first car through trapping and being out and hunting and all that. And I know we're in Seattle, and that's why I said a former life. But one of my favorite moments in the early mornings as I was walking a trap line was to see the red-tailed hawks just swooping over a cornfield maybe that had just been picked. And they were out there looking for the rodents that were in the field, just gathering those nuggets of grain and hauling it back to their storehouse for the winter. And just to take the moments and just to watch those hawks like a hawk. But I'll never forget watching the hawks like a hawk and knowing that the hawks were watching me like a hawk. I mean, they were consistently watching me. This morning, as I walked to my front window, my garden is directly under my front window, and I heard a commotion down there, and those dumb crows are in my garden. And when I walk to the screen and look straight down into my garden, of course, the zucchini leaves start fluttering, and my tomato plants are moving, and I'm thinking, then I need to get one of those fake owls to sit out there, because they're taking every opportunity to spot from the air their next meal. They're watching the ground like a hawk. Are you watching in your life? Are you listening in your life so intently that the first movement of God's voice you'll cue into, that you'll hear? I want to talk about that this morning. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, if you want to read along with me, it's on the screens or on your device. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out on his way and met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone out to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, now remember, you're watching like a hawk, you're listening like a hawk. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This passage of scripture the eunuch was reading was, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began at the very passage and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to those, "Stop the chariot." Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Astus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. In the story, we find that Philip had to be in tune with God's word. He had to be in tune to hear the Spirit of God. Now think about this. In just days, moments prior, Simon the sorcerer had come to hear him preach. And not only did he believe and accept what was being preached, he was also baptized. Now, they didn't, and last week I talked about this, I don't know why the Holy Spirit didn't just fall on them right at that very moment, but in this case, the Holy Spirit tarried, and so those that had believed that moment that Simon the sorcerer had believed and was baptized, the Spirit hadn't come yet. And so the apostles that were down in Jerusalem heard about the church that was growing in Samaria, and they thought, wow, we need to get out there. We need to visit this church. We need to see what God is doing. When they got there, they realized that the church was still, they believed God, they had accepted God, but they were powerless. Simon the sorcerer went up to the apostles and said, you know, you've created this spirit that came and rested on these people when you laid hands on them and prayed. Can I buy that same power? Can I get that same power? And so think about this. Philip is just, he is like, wow. That's like revival. When the Spirit of God fell, and that would be like first and foremost on my mind. Sometimes as Christians, we can get so busy with all the good things that we forget to listen to God's voice or for God's voice. We can get so active doing everything that we always did, the way we always did it, how we know that we should do it, instead of, what am I saying this year? Listening to God's voice, me stop telling him what I think he should be doing, me stop telling him what I think I should be doing, and listening to the voice of God. So the word comes to Philip, and he says, hey, I got a task for you. I want you to go down to this road, the desert road, this hot, dusty road, and I want you to head south. Now, what would you do? What would you do? It's almost like in the middle of rush hour, God's saying, hey, Glenn, I want you to go downtown right now. Not telling me what he wants me to do. He's just saying, get on I-5 and head south. And I'm scratching my head going, wait a minute. From my office, I can see the traffic is not moving. And if at all possible that it were going backwards, it would be doing that. And you're calling me to go. You're calling me to go. Without question, Philip got on the road south, the desert road. He went. Can anybody tell me what this is? What's the Nike slogan? Just do it. Just do it. Can we say that in unison? Just do it. Now say it after this. When the word of God comes to you,
just do it.
When the word of God comes to you,
just do it.
One more time. When the word of God comes to you,
just do it.
It's not up to us to question what God is calling us to do. We are called to go, to be, to just do it. Now, I'm going to be just absolutely, completely candid with you. Some of the greatest adventures that Pastor Joe and I have had in our lives, and listening to our daughters talk, and you would think that moving them around the country in their early years as a pastor's family, that would have really, really bothered them. But some of their greatest adventures, some of my greatest adventures, some of those greatest opportunities in life was when God moved us around. I still, you know, I told Pastor Ken just yesterday, if the immigration system in Canada, sorry, wasn't broken, I'd still be there. But the opportunity for me to leave became apparent and non-negotiable, and I found myself here. And I have never regretted. Some of the greatest moments in your life have been those things that you've been like, oh, should I or shouldn't I? Should I quit this job and go for one over here? Should I do this that I really, really want to do? Or should I stay over there where the money's a little more solid? When God calls, just do it. There are two things that we find that Philip did here. He ran. Scripture's clear. When God said, stay close to the chariot where this royal Ethiopian is, I want you to stay close to the chariot. Scripture's clear. It says he ran to the chariot. He wasn't wasting any time. This is a person who absolutely believes and trusts God's word. I don't know why I'm running up to this chariot. At memory care this week, I said, how weird would that be if God said to me, today, I want you to shadow Chong. And so I show up at Chong's work, and I get in behind his car, and I drive everywhere that he drives. And Chong's going, would you just get away from me? How weird would that be if God said, I want you to go, and I want you to be Priscilla's shadow today. And she says, what are you doing? And I go, I don't know. I don't know. I just know that God called me to shadow you today. And she'd be like, this is really weird. Just give me some space. But when Philip got near the Ethiopian's chariot, this place of royalty, I think that there was probably even other people around. I mean, when famous people come to town, when celebrities or royalty comes to town, that's one of the favorite things to do is to go and kind of mob them. You want to be where they're getting off the plane. You want to go to wherever their event is. You want to be seen with them. You want a selfie with them. And so here's royalty from Ethiopia traveling down this desert road, and I think that the passersby were wanting to get a glimpse or even walk up and kind of, you know, touch this royal chariot and become a part of that caravan and to be able to go home and tell their story. Hey, the representative from Ethiopia went through today, and I touched the side of his chariot. I got that close. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I got that close. Well, when Philip got that close to the chariot, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And as he was reading the prophet Isaiah, Philip just started getting all jazzed and excited because this resonated with him, especially the passage that he was reading. He's talking about Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, they were proclaiming the Messiah. They were waiting for the Messiah. In this age, there was a whole group of the Jewish culture that had rejected Jesus and moved on, and yet there were others that were embracing Jesus. And so when the Ethiopian was reading this account, and he just... opportunity to share what I know or what I've learned. Jesus is the Messiah. Teach everything you know. So as they're reading this text, as they're reading through the prophet Isaiah, Philip goes, do you get this? Do you get it? You know, there are times that I'm talking to my wife, and I talk a whole different language. I talk guy language, and she understands lady language. And so, you know, I'm talking about something, and she's just got this blank stare. And I understand she's not tracking with me. And so I go, do you understand what I'm saying? And she goes, no, you better explain that a little better. You better back up, because what you think you're saying is not what you're saying, because I'm not following it along. I'm not following it at all. And so Philip says to the Ethiopian, you're reading this. You were just down to Jerusalem to worship. Do you understand what you're reading? I love it. I love it when somebody who's not a Christian reads the Bible. And then the Spirit of God, or through a preacher, or through a teacher, or through a spouse, or through somebody that becomes the mouthpiece of God's understanding in that text, They go, wow, I've been reading this, or I've known this verse. I could quote the Ten Commandments. We were walking up from the park the other day, and there was a little coin laying on the top of one of the posts down at the Edmonds Saltwater Park. And Joe went over, and she picked it up, and I don't know why I didn't notice it, because I'm a coin collector, and I will even collect pennies that I find on the ground. You know, you can make over $10 an hour picking up pennies if there's enough of them laying around. And so she's like, there's a coin here. And I'm like, what's on that coin? And she's like, Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are here. Every opportunity for the Word of God to become applicable to our lives. Most people, churched or not, would have heard somewhere in their life the Ten Commandments. They would have heard it likely somewhere in their lifetime, in their upbringing. The Word of God makes applicable even those Ten Commandments. So Philip, he's following these two rules. Share what you learn, teach what you know. In the business world, those who are trying to get on top, those that are trying to climb the corporate ladder and utilize those below them and not bring the team with them, will say, you teach the people under you almost everything you know. You don't give them the goodies. You don't give them the sweet spot. You teach them up to where their knowledge and their level of expertise will benefit me, but I don't want to give them all of my gold. If they knew my gold, if they knew the real lesson in all of this or how I'm doing this, you know, it's like intellectual property. You know, I'm going to guard that with my very life. I don't want my competitor to get that knowledge. I believe this. Share what you learn, teach everything you know. When you share what you learn and teach everything you know, it becomes a cycle. As you teach everything you know, God will open your eyes and share with you new understanding. So you get new understanding. Share what you learn. Teach everything you know. Get in that cycle. God wants us as his creation to stay on top of his word, to be out with his word, sharing everything that we know. We live in a culture today that is not like when I grew up. The pastor could never, never be transparent. You know, Tyler talked about growing in our faith, and we're in process. Man, when I pastored my first church, if I wasn't seen by those older people as absolutely perfect, holy, sanctified, set apart, received the second work of grace, if I was not that person, if I would have said, every day is a struggle for me, every day is a battle for me, every day I have to pursue him with everything that I got, and when I'm at the end of my rope, it's only his strength that gets me through. I couldn't have said that then. As a matter of fact, I got yelled at a couple times that I did say it. The pastor should never show weakness. The pastor should never put himself in a place of vulnerability. The pastor, he's the strong. He's the pillar. He's the priest of this church. Well, we live in this culture today, especially with millennials who want to see transparency. Why do people call church members hypocrites? Because for so long we guarded ourselves and we said that we were holy and that we didn't have any issues, and everybody around us saw our issues except us. It's time for us to say, Jesus changes lives. He transformed my life. I am a brand new creature. I am a new creation. He has my feet on this path. But it's not an easy path, and it's not always my way. Sometimes when I hear God's voice, I have to go south on the desert road. Sometimes I get on M5 when the traffic is going backwards instead of forward. Sometimes I just have to trust him that he's going to bring me through. Sometimes I have to let God be God. Share what you learn. Listen, thank you, Ken. We are missionaries with a purpose. We're not consumers to sit here and hoard. We're missionaries called to go. Share what you learn. Teach everything you know. It might not be a lot. It doesn't matter. God will use even the reading of Isaiah to a eunuch who had no idea what he was talking about when he was reading that. God will use you. Embrace every moment. So Philip he's unpacking all of this text. He started clear back with the text that the eunuch was reading, and he's unpacking it. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Savior. He's preaching the good news in that royal chariot. So as they're cruising down the road, they come on this patch of water. Now, it's a desert road. How much water can there be? I really, really, like, really? That's completely a God thing. When I pastored in Canada, they would do baptisms down. See, we lived in what was called Paradise Valley, and it was more a dip, more of a paradise dip. But there was a little stream down the road in this little gully thing. But in the summer, when we wanted to do some baptisms, when those were occurring, instead of using the tank, we'd like to go down and baptize in the river. Well, it never happened when I was there, but I heard stories about the pastor and the chair of the board and those who were working with the baptism service taking shovels and going down to the creek bed and just digging a hole deep enough that those who were getting baptized could sit down in the stream in that little creek, and they would dip them over and be careful not to bang their heads on the rock, because it was not a deep spot, but it was just enough to baptize them. I really picture that as the Ethiopian. I really picture this as a challenge for Philip. An opportunity, but a challenge. How do I embrace this moment where he's saying, I want to be baptized? So they make their way down to water, and he's baptized. He's baptized. This is probably my favorite part of this story as a Star Trek fan. When the Ethiopian's coming up out of the water, Philip disappears. Now, if you haven't been down to the Mopop recently, you know that there's a whole section dedicated to Star Trek. And in there's a teleportation device that you go into this studio, and there's all these cameras set up and these filters and angles and all of this technology, and it comes up on a prompter. It tells you what to do. So Pastor Joe and I were standing on these pads. It looks like the original Enterprise. And we're standing on these little circles on this little stage, kind of where we're waiting for beam me up, Scotty, you know, and there's an audible voice on technology telling you what to do. And so it's like, point here, point there. And so we're just kind of like, okay, this is weird. If we did it again, it'd be awesome. But we had no idea what we were doing the first time through. But when we got the clip emailed to us, we actually found ourselves in this video standing on the transporter pad in the Enterprise, and the sparkles started all around us. And, you know, we heard the sound of being transported, and then we were gone. And then there's this planet surface that we appear on this planet surface. And the, you know, the teleprompter is saying, point your laser here, point, and it was just actually your finger, and they automatically or digitally put a like a phaser in your hand, but you're just kind of pointing and all of that. I appeared, and Joanne and I appeared on this planet that was under attack, and we fought our little battle just before the planet exploded. And so we saw ourselves transported out of that planet back to the bridge of the Enterprise. How cool is that? I mean, that's an opportunity as a Trekkie fan to say, I was transported to the surface and back. Scripture says that when the Ethiopian came up from the water, probably just about the time where he was securely sound and he's not going to get dropped and bang his head on those rocks in that shallow water, Philip disappears. Now we know that he reappears in a different place and continues his ministry. I don't know how that happened, but what an opportunity. What an opportunity. Not only could the Ethiopian talk about that as he carried his new gospel message to those that would listen, but also Philip as he reappeared somewhere different and like, wow, let me tell you the opportunity that I had. Let me circle back. God continues to offer you and I opportunities every day to be ambassadors with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And furthermore, not only does he offer you the opportunity to be an ambassador for the gospel, he's offering you as an opportunity for those who have not heard the gospel yet to hear it through your story, through your situation, through just even that little bit that you do know, or that short time that you've known him. So, what happens now? What happens now? I've been challenged. I know I need to listen. I know I need to go. I know I need to do, yeah, just do it. I need to share my faith. I need to do that. So what happens now? I love, doesn't it look like they're having a conversation? It does. When I saw that, I thought, I cannot. There was other pictures of a mama camel and her baby, but I couldn't pass this one up. Listen to this story as I end. Let me conclude with this. A mother and a baby camel were laying under a tree. Now, there were pictures with, like I said, this was my favorite, and there were others with a tree in the picture. You'll just have to imagine that shadow off to the right. That's the shadow of a tree. So they're under there. The baby camel asks, "Mama, why do camels have humps? Why do camels have humps?" The mother camel considered this and said, "Well, we're desert animals, so we have humps to store water so that we can survive with very little water." The baby camel thought for a moment and said, "Okay." Now, this is just me. The camel probably didn't do that. "Okay, why are our legs so long and our feet round? What's that about?" The mama replied, "They're meant for walking in the desert." The baby paused and then, without missing a beat, asked the mama, "Why are our eyelashes so long? They get in my way and they're annoying sometimes." The mama responded, "Those long, thick eyelashes protect your eyes from the desert sand when the winds blow." The baby thought and thought and thought. Then he said to his mama, "I see. The hump is to store water in when you're in the desert. The legs are for walking through the desert, and the eyelashes are to protect my eyes from the desert. Then why are we in a zoo?" That spoke to me. That was a powerful conclusion to the concept about opportunities for me as God's servant. If he has given me his presence and his voice, if he has given me direction and given me opportunity, if he's given me the ability to minister to those who are not yet a part of the faith, then why am I still in the church? Now, I don't mean that for everybody not to come to church, because I believe weekends are needful and they're powerful, and this is the place that we gain that energy. So please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm saying the gifts and the opportunities that God has given us, he wants us to take beyond these walls. He wants them in your workplace. He wants them in your home. He wants them at your family reunion. He wants them at the park when you go down and explore. He wants it on the trail. He wants it on the mountain. He wants it on wherever you're at. He has prepared us. Think about this. Lord, why have you given us your presence? Lord, why have you given us direction? God, why have you put a message, a story in my heart? And I just sat here. Wow. Wow. We are blessed with opportunities. There is a mission field. There is a field white unto harvest right outside these doors, right off your front porch, right next to you as you sit in the traffic jam. I'm always excited when I look at a car sitting next to me and their windows are up and their air conditioning is cranked, but I can see them singing along with a Christian song. Like, they probably think he's weird, you know? What's he want? He's giving me the, yeah. Even if they think you're weird, take the opportunity that God opens for you. I can't tell you how many times I freaked people out at a restaurant. In this culture, in this day and age, I don't see many people with their families praying before a meal anymore. That was very culturally relevant in the Midwest, and I don't see it so much. So when I see somebody praying, before we slip out, I'll just go over and just say, hey, I noticed you were praying, and the looks that I get are just, they're just all over the spectrum. I just wanted to say, I saw you praying, and I appreciate that so much. Thank you for being a witness. You've encouraged me today. Take every opportunity. Take every opportunity. There was a group of men talking about religious things right behind me at what's the pancake place? The breakfast, the pancake house, whatever, up on Aurora. Just no, not IHOP. The pancake house, family pancake house. There were two men sitting behind Joe and I as we were eating there. And you guys take us to restaurants and then they become our favorite and we just have to keep going. They were talking some religious things and I had just finished listening to a TED Talk or similar, it probably wasn't a TED Talk, on the genetic makeup of lanolin and what the DNA strand of lanolin looks like. If you haven't looked that up, take your pencil, take your pen, on your device, write this lanolin, and type that into Google search with Louis Giglio. It'll blow you away. I had opportunity to say, go to this website. I didn't even have to preach to them. I didn't even have to share the gospel with them. All I said was, here's a website, check this out. It's what you guys are talking about, the awesomeness of God. Big, small, humongous, miniature. God offers each and every one of us opportunities to be his minister. And that is exactly what he called us to be. Let's do it. Let's get motivated and active.